Okay, we're at T-minus 2 minutes, 42 seconds. Stage one locks load is closed out. Stage two will continue to load for about another half a minute or so. Once we get the completion of stage two locks loading, we have to vent down the line, so you'll see another large white cloud coming off of the strongback. That'll be normal. That'll happen around
transitioning to
T-minus
power.
1 minute and 40 seconds. We're going on internal power now.
Mission Control, are we sure the weather is perfectly good today? It looks like, you know, I see a few clouds outside. Maybe we want to reconsider the launch window.
Just a few seconds away from the stage two locks load being complete. It's been almost 9 years since we've been in this position. A lot of work done by thousands of people to get to this point. All our eyes focused on two now.
Mission Control, I'm just going to level with you. I don't want to do this anymore. Can I please just leave? And I think Doug's got it handled up here pretty well. And I'm gonna go ahead and exit the capsule now.
Stage two locks load complete. All fuel, all oxidizer on Falcon 9. 1 minute, 34 seconds to go till launch.
Ground gas closeouts is starting.
Mission Control, I can't figure out how to open this door. I think you moved like the tunnel thingy over. If you guys could just move the tunnel thingy back to the capsule, then I can go ahead and just get off this. It's all controlled by computers anyways. I don't really know why either of us have to be in here. But Doug looks like he's got it handled, so I'm going to let him just stay here.
Falcon 9 is in startup. Dragon is in countdown. FTS is armed for launch.
I actually have no training as an astronaut. I only wanted to do this to get a cool Tinder profile pic. Elon also said that he'd give me a Tesla, but I will gladly get back to Tesla. I'm very afraid of heights, and I do not want to be on this rocket right now. Please let me out of the rocket.
SpaceX Dragon, we're go for launch. Let's light this candle.
No, we are not ready to launch. Please get me off of this. Where the fuck is the open button here? Is this like
T-minus
a voice activated thing? Okay, I didn't want to say this before. I didn't want to worry anyone, but I have the coronavirus. I have the virus. If you put me up
stage
there,
one tanks pressing
I'm
going to infect
all those motherfuckers on the ISS. You hear me? NASA? Elon?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1-0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9.
Damn you, Elon!
Go NASA! Go SpaceX! Godspeed!
Hey, everyone. Hope you're having a good week so far. maybe that's the best way to start this. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a week. Hope things are going a little bit better for you. Welcome to episode 3 of Lower Your Expectation. It's me, Jaywalk. So, good news is, so far, I have gotten 50... hey, Google, what's 46 plus 9?
The answer is
55 listens this week, or so far. I'm sorry, I got 55 listens so far. It's been a lot of fun putting this together. I've been working on getting some more voices on this show and getting some more guests. I actually have a guy who I made a movie with like 10 years ago, who's an awesome dude who's going to help me out soon with some extra voices and stuff. A big part of the show that I wanted to be different from just me talking was to put a little bit of effort into doing audio sketches. But unfortunately, I'm not like a master of doing impressions. I've found out, I thought I was, whenever I'm like just kind of riding my bike by myself. But as soon as I put on these headphones, listen to myself talk, they are not very good at all. So I'm not even going to try to do them. I'm going to depend on people to help me out. And with this show, you know, it's a lot harder whenever you're a grown-ass adult to get people to just help you on just like goofy shit, you know, for nothing. Whenever I made my film, it was so easy. Just every friend I knew and, you know, adults had a, you know, a lot of hope in me, a lot of hope that I was going, even though this movie I was making was going to suck ass, that it was going to, you know, help my future or something like that. That doesn't work for a 32-year-old. For a 32-year-old, it's pretty much like, just why are you not paying me for this? You know, it's I mean, for 32, you kind of lose that benefit of the doubt. And it's a little bit harder to convince people to just hop on a passion project with you whenever we all have bills to pay and stuff like that. And especially with the tone of this show, that the tone is strictly just passion project, isn't commercialized at all. Is a hard sell. Like, I'm basically going to people and then telling them, hey, I need you on my show. I need you to carve out time for me. And oh yeah, by the way, like, no one listens to this and it's just a for fun thing. So you're not getting paid and you're not getting exposure to be on my show. Doesn't that sound like a great deal, guys? But I do have some people who have agreed to work on me with a few episodes. Not as quickly as I wanted. It's very unrealistic for me to expect on a weekly show to get guests on all the time. I professionally did this for another client where I would not only do the podcast engineering, I would do the guest acquisition where I would go find guests for their show and then get them on. And like, that was always like a month or two process. Sometimes I would luck out and find like a friend or something of the host who would, you know, come on the show. But we just did a monthly podcast and getting the guest was the hardest part. And in that case, it wasn't like this crass, like, underground thing. It was a, you know, a respected professionals podcast. And even then, and we also had money that we were throwing at it. Even then it was tough to get people on. And then also, you know, we had an issue where someone we had on, didn't want to be on the show now. And we already recorded two episodes with them. So I had to go in, and remove them. But long story short on it is that I do have people coming up. I think a weekly guest is unrealistic right now. Sadly, maybe I'll get to Joe Rogan level soon and I can have on, you know, guests every week and then every day. But, even with Joe Rogan, his early episodes are just with Brian Redband most of the time. And I have a feeling it's for the same issue that I have. But in my case, it's a million times harder because I wasn't on Fear Factor and don't know anyone in the LA comedy scene. So I'm trying my best, guys. I'm still going to make the show every week. I think it's really important for me personally to have that discipline that this has to be done every week, no matter what. I have to give my like 12 listeners a show every week. They have to have it. And I have to take the time to write and think of things and make a good show for you guys. So, reminder that this is just a funny haha podcast. I'm not a political pundit. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about on most things. There are plenty of other white people on my Facebook that you can message to talk about racial issues. They're all there. I would say most of them are there. So, you know, if you need that, I have a list of Facebook friends you could talk to about that kind of stuff. I will say this, though. I am becoming more and more displeased with white people. More and more, especially college age, like upper middle class white people. I'm getting sick of them too. You know, where I live, I can go down to the Mexican side of town, which I kind of prefer to do my grocery shopping and stuff. Or I can go to the sort of more wealthy white areas, if you will, of the city. And I always feel way, way more comfortable in the Mexican side of town. You know, they just work hard and they all are about family and I just always feel way more welcome and it's more of a community spirit as opposed to whenever I see some spoiled fucking Santa Barbara college kid, you know, just I understand the annoyance with white people now. especially whenever I'm in Vaughn's and I can hear some chick on her phone go, oh my God, did she really fucking say that? Oh, what a fucking bitch, just on a goddamn speakerphone call while she walks around and looks at that new Halo top ice cream. I'm with you. I can't stand him. Had enough of him. I am the Uncle Ruckus of white kids, okay? it's annoying. Whenever you live in a college town, you know, I thought it was cool because you get lots of babes, but you also get lots of bros. You get babes and you get the bros. And I'm not a fan of the bros, especially with all this fucking hard seltzer they're drinking. Every time that I'm in the store or at a bar and I see a grown ass man order a hard seltzer, getting a White Claw, I just die a little bit inside. You know, I got in trouble a little bit, or I got in an argument on a Tinder date because I called them a bitch beer, and they're like, oh, well, and she actually agreed with me that they're lame, and that they're like for children, but I call them bitch beer. It's what I've been raised. And she's like, oh, they're not that. And I'm like, look, you can be a bitch as a male or a female. Like, they're both like equally bitches if they are drinking hard seltzer, in my opinion. I don't like it. And I feel myself becoming prejudiced whenever I see one. Like I was saying, if I'm at a bar, there'll be a guy who, you know, looks perfectly fine and a nice upstanding white person. And then they order, you know, this fucking White Claw. And sometimes I've even, you know, called them out on it. Mostly I'll do that if I'm trying to hit on them. If it's a girl, it's called negging in the pickup artist community. And it's if I see, you know, someone with a White Claw, it's just too easy for me to go like, what are you drinking? Like, what are you doing, dude? You know, I enjoyed Mike's Hard Lemonade and Zima's whenever I was like 13. You know, I used to sneak them to school and stuff because, you know, you're a teenage kids like a sweet drink. And I had a big access to it. Because without incriminating myself too much, let's just say I might have had an operation at a certain grocery store chain. So yeah, I just, you know, I can't stand douchebag white people. They're very annoying. You know, you can just feel the privilege, especially in an area like this where, you know, they're by definition like top 1%. If you have family who has the funds to put you in Santa Barbara College, you're already up there. Like, you're in the top 1%. God damn, this episode sucks. So, you know, like everyone else, I've been watching the riots, the protests, whatever you want to call them, on TV. And, you know, one thing has disturbed me quite a bit is that I don't see a lot of masks, guys. I don't see a lot of social distancing. You know, I'm watching live shots of Santa Monica right now in a protest, and they're holding hands. You can't hold hands in a pandemic, people. No one cares anymore. That's what if there's any like silver lining to all of this is that in my opinion, the COVID shit is just done. It's over. Everyone is over it. No matter where you are, there are some people who are still sort of pretending, you know, that we're gonna, you know, keep on, you know, distancing and stuff. And there's also introverts like myself who are just, you know, gonna continue business as usual for a while with a great excuse to not have to see people all the time. But I think for people overall, it's just done. You know, it was impressive that people for 2.5 months could keep themselves isolated and do all that. But every time I go to the store, people don't have masks on. And then I see the worst is I see people, you know, on social media bitch about people they see at parks and like whenever they go out somewhere. And they'll bitch about it. They'll say, oh my God, I was at so-and-so and I saw all these people out there. Bitch, you were there too. Like, That's what's so fucking ridiculous about this is that you cannot, it's called, you know, he without sin, throw the first stone. Because all I see is bitches throwing stones like there's no tomorrow. And then you hear like what their justification is for it. Like something I've heard from a few people is a quote unquote, a quarantine group. Where basically a group of friends have decided that they're going to be super extra careful, guys, but we're still going to hang out with each other, even though we don't live in the same house. And according to most of the guidelines, that's not a reasonable exception. It is for them. So I have my quarantine group, or, you know, I'm just going to, or I will, you know, maybe see someone and I'll wear a mask, but oh shit, I forgot the mask. Oh, it's not a big deal. People are just over it. It's just done. Everyone has created their little exception to the rule, no matter what. And that just shows that it's a dumb rule. Like I said in the first, podcast episode, is that a rule that just simply isn't enforced anymore should just be taken down. It's something that pisses me off all the time with people is to pretend that we follow a rule and we don't. It's hypocrisy. It's dumb. So I'm calling it May 31st, the COVID shit's done. People are just over it. But yeah, especially watching the protests, it's pretty funny to see, like, every once in a while, like, a mayor will come on and say, oh, guys, just make sure you wear the masks, too. If you're going to go out in protest, just make sure you wear the mask. And they say it so sheepishly because they know that no one gives a fuck now, okay? Yeah, I've just noticed that I think that with the protests going on is people's, like, all over priorities have changed, you know, for good reasons. You should fight for what you believe in. I do respect that a lot. But I'm just saying, I think that the COVID fear, we've just gotten over it. I will give one piece of advice to people who are rioting in the streets right now. Don't bring weed to a riot, okay? It's a terrible choice. You got to stay angry. I recommend Adderall. I think for me, Adderall makes me so fucking pissed that, you know, I think it would be a much more appropriate drug to take in a civil unrest scenario than weed. What are you going to do? Smoke some weed and then like break some buildings and windows and shit? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's going to slow you down. You're going to be too hungry to think. And I've broken the weed rule already. Fuck. I promise there's more to my life than that, than pot. I do have a personality and a very curious brain and a lot of other good things going on in my life than just pot. I got my kitty cat. I got a black cat, so I can't be racist. Come here, kitty. Kitty. Kitty, do you want to say anything for the podcast? Here, let me get the mic down for you. That's a pretty hot opinion, kitty. You want to back that up with some facts? Thank you, kitty. Always a very controversial guest on the show, kitty. All right, I'll let you go. Just want to say I do not endorse the opinions of my cat. Those are her own. So I'm sorry if that offended anyone listening. Speaking of shopping at the grocery store, this is a free plug for my favorite app right now is Instacart. Once I realized Instacart was a thing, I actually sold my car. Like that one of the few things holding on to me needing a car out here was picking up groceries and stuff. And with Instacart, it's you pay like 10 bucks a month and then you just have to tip them. It's a no-brainer, okay? Like you get to write out a grocery list on your computer. And then you just say, buy this for me. It's awesome. Like, I love it. It's also pretty convenient in the sense that you can get stuff really early. One of the tricks to grocery store shopping is you got to get there super early because they restock at night. So it's great that I can just, make a grocery list the night before. And then I'll, as soon as I wake up, I put in the order and then I can make some coffee. Actually don't drink coffee. I can sip a Rockstar energy drink, do some breakfast and just relax. And this person does all of my grocery shopping for me. It's awesome. Even before the pandemic, like I said, I've been using this and I highly recommend it. It's such a great time saver, and time is a resource that you'll never, ever, ever get back. It's something you have to think about a lot, or that I try to with anything that I work on, is that even if something can save me some money, but it takes me a little more time, just spend the extra money, because you won't get it back. You'll never get back the time. A good rule of thumb that I've heard from someone that I kind of keep in my own head is imagine an hourly rate for your life all the time. Everything you do has an hourly rate on it. He recommended $200 a month or $200 an hour. I'm sorry. Which sounds really insane. You can't think of a job that would pay that, but it's really good in thinking about how much things are worth. I actually, in my head, put it at $60 an hour. I'm a little bit more realistic. Also, it's easier math. So if something, costs me $5 more, but, saves me 10 more minutes, then it's twice as valuable. So, it's well worth it. I remember being in San Francisco one time with some friends. My friends, I love them, but god damn, are they cheap on vacations. I have to remind them now that I'm a 30-year-old man, and if I, decide to get a hotel room with you guys, let's just get a few more beds. Let's just get a second room. We'll all pay a little bit more because I'm too fucking old to lay on the hard floor while we all we're some sort of immigrants, or just hiding, or we're refugees, or just hiding in this San Francisco apartment, So I have to remind them. But one thing that happened while we were out in San Francisco was, we were walking around town and we wanted to see everything. We were in Chinatown and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, we'll get an Uber so we can, get to this next spot. And my friend was like, oh no, it's just a 30-minute walk. He's like, I'm trying to save money. We'll just walk 30 minutes. It's like, bro, it's a $6 ride split between two people. That's $3 versus 30 minutes of time having to walk on this, which on a vacation, you have very tight timetables. This is another piece of advice, or this is a piece of advice for vacationing in general. Take your itinerary list and really cut that shit down. Especially if you're going somewhere, like whenever my friends come to California and stuff, the biggest mistake that they make is they want to do everything. We want to go to LA. We want to go to San Francisco. We want to go to Big Sur. We want to, go to this place and that place, see this person, see that person. And you just don't have the time. You have, if you're out for, 4 days, you're going to spend half the time just in your car, just trying to get places before they close and stuff. And it's happened many times. So advice, if you go on a vacation somewhere, is just get your itinerary way down. If it's going to take a lot of travel, you got to add in that time to stay there longer. Unless you like the drive. I mean, it is fun out here to take PCH up and stuff, but, especially our last time we have this little, it's called our bear pack. My friends, we like to kind of take a yearly or bi-yearly trip up the coast here that, of course, I've always loved to join in even before I moved to California, because I love this place so much. So, So last time, they came over, we just had too many people and too many ideas, and people start getting butthurt because they can't go do their thing. And then you get upset because they're wasting all this time doing that. And then you show up somewhere and they're closed, or, the friend you're counting on crashing with, doesn't have a couch or anything to sleep on. So then you're screwed. Little tip when it comes to vacationing is just keep it simple. Keep it simple. You can always come back. And if you want to do like a long, epic trip, you got to have more time. In other less upsetting news, Elon Musk got his SpaceX Dragon capsule up into orbit. I am a super huge fan of space in general. It's probably like one of the hot button things that if one of my friends or if someone I know starts talking about how the moon landing's fake or that space is a waste of money and shit, I will go right down their throat with lots of facts and figures because it's just important for me. As a matter of fact, the background screen of my computers is from the Apollo 11 landing, and my co-working space I used to go to before this terrible virus. We all have to have a little quote underneath our names, and mine was pieces of JFK's speech of, we go to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And I really love that attitude, to do something because it's hard. That's a very good reason to do anything, in my opinion, is that it's fucking hard to do. That's why we're doing it. Like, it's not, life isn't about just finding the easiest path available and just sticking with it and just trying to be comfortable. It's about challenging yourself. And that's something that really inspires me with JFK. And so that's my quote is the announcement speech he made that they're going to land on the moon before the decade's out. Love it. So with that in mind, thought I'd tell you about my absolute favorite video game. This is the media part of the show. And that game is called Kerbal Space Program. It's more of a lifestyle than a game, really. It's Kerbal Space Program. It's a sandbox simulator game where you build spaceships and build rockets, and you also build airplanes and space planes. It's a very cool game because it is very accurate with the physics of space flight. Flying in space is not like an airplane or a car where you just kind of point it and go. It's actually mostly just falling. It's just like whenever you throw something in the air and it falls back down, or if you throw it fast enough, then it will continuously fall and create an orbit. It's the same thing that happens with the sun and the planets. And if you want to, go from here to Mars, you don't like drive like an engine, like burn an engine all the way there. All you do is you make one big burn once you're circling the Earth. Once you're orbiting, you make one big transfer burn, and the entire journey is just Isaac Newton. It's just moving with the laws of orbital mechanics and gravity, and it's a really cool game for that reason. It teaches you a ton. Like I have a ridiculous, useless knowledge of everything to do with orbits and delta V and rockets and, engine ISPs and, aero braking and all of this like stuff. It's funny because it's like a very like serious game, but the little like space people that you have are these little like green, like kids' toys looking thing. I just keep their helmets on so you can't, I don't feel like a total loser playing this game. But besides that, it has a very interesting learning curve. It took me, whenever my friend showed it to me, it took us like 2 weeks together to figure out how to land on the moon, because you have to you have to build a rocket that's big enough to get off the planet and orbit and stuff. But the hard part is whenever you land on a surface without an atmosphere, you have to do a rocket burn down. You basically have to ride a rocket all the way down, which is what SpaceX is doing now with the Falcon launcher, which is so fucking tight that it comes down in its own rocket. It's way harder on Earth to do that because we have wind and all this other stuff. But back in the day in the 60s, trying to do that on the moon, it's a big challenge because you have to very carefully burn the engines to have just enough thrust to put you down, not too much, or you'll bounce back up, and then you won't have any more fuel, so you'll just crash into the surface. And you have to do something called a suicide burn, which is where you wait till the very last moment whenever you're plummeting towards the lunar surface to actually activate the engines and throttle up. And the reason you have to do that is because if you do a really slow kind of burn from the top, you'll run out of fuel. And then by the time you're close to landing, your engines will shut off and you'll just slowly start accelerating due to the laws of gravity again, and then you'll crash into the surface of the moon. So that happened a lot with me and my friend, where we would just try to figure out how to do it. And whenever you land, you have to take into account both the horizontal and vertical speed differences. So, you know, we got this like thing coming down to the surface. It's not coming straight down. It's coming at an angle because it's coming from an orbit. So it's an orbit that's now become shorter and shorter to where it's just like an arc to hit the surface. And so you have to fire your engines in a way that it will first remove that horizontal, like left, right, front, back speed to where you will do a straight up down descent. So you have to get that worked out. And then once you're coming down, you have to very carefully make sure you lose any of that horizontal and vertical speed. So if you tilt the engine a little bit, you start pushing the other way, you have to have some sort of countermeasure to push it the other side. So whenever I would first play with a friend, we would literally have two hands on the keyboard, or both of our hands on the keyboard and joystick. One person doing the throttle control to make sure we weren't going down too fast. And then I would be actually making sure that we were, you know, staying level and steady on the surface. Tons of fun. So that's when I first started playing the game years ago. And now I'm up to 4,077 hours. If you were to put those all in days, it's like half a year. It's like half a year I've put into this nonstop playing it. Now, granted, a lot of that time playing it is just watching the mission kind of go. It's a super fun game for me because I don't like any games where I have to like constantly be working and like in you know, fighting someone, and just I'm not into that. I like a game that you can have a drink to and like put on some music. And, you know, it's with Kerbal Space Program, the planning is everything. So the planning, you know, is what takes all of your brain power, just figuring out to get from the launch pad to wherever you want to go and back, and making sure that you have enough like oxygen and food and all that kind of stuff. So like, you know, in a typical space flight, you know, the launch phase, you know, you're watching and you're, you know, on the stick, getting yourself up to the atmosphere, and then you do the orbit burn, and then you're in orbit. And then once you're in orbit, you can take your hands off everything because it's just going to circle the planet over and over again until you wanted to do something else, until you decide to use fuel again. So, you know, it's a fun game because, you know, you do all this planning to make a rocket that'll have everything you need to get you into orbit. And then once you get into orbit, it's like a little victory right there. And you can just kind of relax and enjoy the views of the sun coming up against the planets. I have a lot of these cool mods for the game that let you play it totally inside the capsule. So you can actually, you know, see all the cockpit displays and stuff. And it's way more immersive, in my opinion, than just like you're just like God, like looking down at this spaceship while it's moving around. I love the idea that you can actually play it what they call IVA, where it's all in inside the cockpit and you're just using the displays and data like an actual astronaut would use. Not anymore. It's actually super cool that is like kind of old fashioned. Like the mods that I have for the game are based off of like shuttle designs and stuff. So it's very high tech. There's tons of what they call glass displays, where instead of like a physical instrument, it's screens that you can look at. But the screens are like 90s technology. So if you want to, you know, pull up a different page on the screen, you got to actually press buttons and then find that display screen that you need to look at. And it's tons of switches and stuff. This mod's super cool because you can interact with everything inside. In the base game, the inside is just kind of for fun. Like, you know, it has a horizontal indicator I mean, sorry, it has an attitude indicator and like an altitude meter and a speed indicator, but that's about it. So you can't really do everything inside. You can, it's a fun challenge that I'll do sometimes, but you don't have like all of the data about your orbit and, you know, your fuel and all that kind of cool stuff. With SpaceX, their cockpit is just touchscreens. I don't know if anyone has seen it, but it's just three touchscreens. And I watched a tour of them talking about it, and they do have buttons like underneath it in case they need to like, you know, drop a parachute or do some sort of emergency procedures. And I would guess that somewhere hidden on there is a joystick. That to me is the weirdest part. There's not even a joystick in there, but it's 2020. Like the computers do everything now. Whenever you're watching that SpaceX launch, the humans are pretty much just cargo in there. Like it's not like the days where you needed a test pilot, you know, who knew how to like fly and do all this stuff. Those guys were just sitting back, just watching the screens. They did do some tests to see that they could do manual control, but it's so badass, in my opinion, that it's just three touch screens. Like anyone could go up in there and then just see the data they need, and they can switch between screens by just touching it like you do on your phone and stuff. And it's pretty interesting. So that's actually one thing that SpaceX is way more advanced than my simulations, is that I actually do kind of enjoy the old fashioned where I have to actually pilot the spacecraft and stuff. And it's like I said, it's kind of more of a hobby than a game. I've put a ton of time into it, and you know, you can go really far and deep with this game. I mean, I have maps that show delta V calculations of how much fuel you need to get to certain bodies, how much fuel you need to transfer to them, how much fuel you need to orbit, how much fuel you need to land, and stuff like that. So whenever you're, you know, designing the spaceship or designing the launch vehicle, you can factor all that in. And it's a fun, challenging game, because usually what happens is right whenever you get to where you want to go, you realize that you've messed something up, and that, you know, the time's a bitch in this game. There's just I have a mod that lets you do life support. They don't have life support by default in there, so it doesn't really give a fuck how long you have astronauts out in space. You can have them circling the sun for years and years, not a big deal. But I think that's unrealistic. So I actually do put in life support and give them limited oxygen and food and water and stuff like that. And on one of the missions I did to have them land on Mars and come back, I realized that I totally fucked up the timing of, you know, how to get from Earth to Mars and back. The thing is that you have launch windows. There are certain times where the planets are lined up in just the right way to where you can do a, you know, like a, instead of like a 3-year journey, you can do like an 8-month journey. And that's as fast as you can go without, you know, doing some kind of ridiculous like game breaking shit and just going full rockets all the way. But even then you'll save maybe a few more days. You won't really save that much time. So in this circumstance, while I did find a good launch window to go from Earth to Mars with using a very little amount of fuel and very little amount of time, and the time is the important part, because the time is the life support system. The life support system has a finite amount of time that it can continue to go for. So I had about 3 years worth of food and water on the ship. And then I had, you know, an 8-month transfer time there, and then 8 months back. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I have plenty of food, more than double, to get there and back. So I did the transfer, took about 8 months. And then once I got on the planet, I realized that now that 8 months have passed, the transfer window is gone. You have to wait another year for the transfer window to come back to have an efficient and short trip back to Earth. And so, you know, kind of looking at the supplies and stuff, I basically realized that I was 172 days short for three astronauts, that if I was just going to just continue and fly away, all three astronauts would starve and die of oxygen deprivation. So that was a bitch. And, you know, I'm already out there. I'm already at the planet. So the choice was to kind of let them just all die for the mission. Maybe put them on the planet. That was another idea I had. Just put them on Mars, you know, and maybe try to send some sort of fast as hell supply ship back. But I actually realized there was a much simpler solution to the whole thing, and that was that I had enough life support for two people to make the trip back, not three. So if I removed one of the people, then I could easily make it back to the space center back home, no problem, with like actually about like 12 or so days left of life support on them. But the question was, who would not come back home? And so, you know, it's just fun because I just have this game up just thinking about it all night. I was like, who would I pick, and how would they go? What would be the best way to make this happen? You know, I have a lot of options. I can just toss them out. I can just toss one of them out the airlock. You know, I could send them back to the surface to just kind of chill out in Mars until they run out of food and oxygen. Or I could just crash land the lander back to the surface, which I thought would be a cooler move. So, and I thought it'd be like more humane. You know, I figure if I was in that situation, they're like, well, you can either starve, freeze out there in space, or you can go out in a fucking blaze of glory and just ride this bitch all the way down back to the surface and die instantly. Thought that was a better move. So I decided to pick the youngest crew member to go. Seniority is very important in Kerbal Space Program. Okay. It's first in, first out. So I decided that the rookie astronaut, he wouldn't be as missed. So I put him in the lander can and gave him a little deorbit burn away from the other capsule as he slowly drifted into the Martian atmosphere. And then what happened was that we actually had such a slow orbit already that he, whenever he did the reentry, the air actually slowed him down enough to where it didn't destroy the capsule that he was in. So it actually was just a gnarly crash landing, and then the capsule spun and he survived. The guy was in the can, the lander can, totally alive. And that just sucked. So basically what I did at that point was I let him go outside and, you know, enjoy the views of Mars for a little bit while his crew members jetted off from the orbit around Mars back to Earth. And I just let him kind of hang out on the surface for a bit. While I was flying back with the other two very grateful crew members, I got the message that he was deprived of oxygen, that death was imminent, and it's the last time we heard it from him. So it's a fun game. It's a fun game if you are really into science and in technology, and you want something that's like that challenges you mentally, but not so much like you have to be like in there playing and stuff. It's the reason I have so many hours on there is really not all because of gameplay. It's because the way the game works is that it has realistic orbit time. So, you know, if you want to go from here to the moon, it takes 2 days. And if you let the game just play at normal speed, you can just leave your game for 2 days. And then just like how, you know, you see like real astronaut missions, just kind of check in every once in a while. And so sometimes I'll do that. But there's, of course, time warping where you can just speed up the in-game time so that you can go as fast as a day per second, which is really handy because there are some trips, especially out in the farther solar system, that do take years to do. So even at like a fast time warp, it can take a few minutes to get to the position you want to be in. So that's my recommendation of a game that's super fun. I don't really have that many games that I play. I know that every episode I'm having one, but I kind of have a strategy behind this in that I want to at one point take clips of this show and then put them on YouTube. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to the YouTube algorithm, there are two things that sell better than anything else on YouTube, and that is video games and boobies. So the fact that I have video game content, I'm hoping it will be a way to kind of cheat the YouTube search algorithm, and maybe some nerds who are into the game can hear my thoughts on it and decide to, and I can even put gameplay footage on it, which is cool. So I can go ahead and do that and, yeah, you know, start actually giving a damn about marketing this show in some way. So yeah, that's my game recommendation for the week.
Down in deepest, darkest Africa. Who's the one who brought the jungle fame? Who's the king of animals in Africa? Kimba the White Lion is his name.
All right, so movie time. So this is from a channel called YourMovieSucks.org. And it's a very long video. And it's just called YMS Kimba the White Lion. It's 2.5 hours long. So it's just like my shows, maybe kind of good background and stuff. But I did watch most of it. I did fall asleep a little bit in the middle of it. I've become a big fan of daily naps lately. It's something me and my cat get along with very well. It's our favorite activity together, is taking a little nap. So I will confess, I did fall asleep a little bit towards the end of it. But it's an amazing piece of commentary, because it brings up something I didn't even realize was like an urban legend that I just believed was true. And that is the controversy, if you've never heard before, between Kimba the White Lion and Simba from The Lion King. So if you don't know, I'll kind of say it really quickly. In Japan, there was a show called Kimba the White Lion. And it was about a white lion cub who was the king of the jungle and got in all kinds of goofy scenarios with other jungle people. And for the longest time, people have just accepted that Walt Disney and Disney are just fucking assholes who just stole this from this Japanese author. And they just, there's all these videos that show the comparisons between the two. They show like what's very compelling. They show what looks like about the same scenes kind of done, but, you know, done like years earlier with Kimba. And there's even some concept art that Disney did where the lion was white at first. And, you know, even like the name, you see, it's like, well, there's Kimba and then there's fucking Simba. So like everyone else, I just believed this for the longest time. I was like, oh yeah, you know, Disney are assholes and they just stole this. This guy, YourMovieSucks.org dude, did such an amazing job. And these are the kind of stories I love. If you tell, it's one thing to tell me a story everyone's fucking heard before, or an opinion that everyone shares, and that you think that you're so woke and amazing for telling me something that every single friend agrees with you on. I love whenever someone digs something up to say, you know what, we might be wrong. A good book review I'll give you, because I'm not a total simpleton who just watches movies and plays video games. There's a great book. It's called But What If We're Wrong? And it's all about how, you know, we think we know what the future is going to be like, and we have a lot of set beliefs on stuff that in the future we could look back and say, oh my God, you were so off. It was ridiculous. Like shit like, you know, especially when it comes to pop culture and science and stuff, about how we might be totally wrong. So anything that comes out with that, I just love. And so this guy is just great, because he flips the script and says, hey guys, that whole Kimba Simba thing, it's bullshit. It's total made up bullshit. The biggest smoking gun behind it is that, first of all, many of the clips that they show, like in comparison videos, is Kimba the White Lion after The Lion King came out. So like they'll show these clips and say, oh, this was from the old anime before the show. And it's an absolute lie. It's from a movie and shows that were made after The Lion King. Not saying they're ripping them off, but that's a fact. And the other one is that Kimba the Lion is like a Mickey Mouse or something. It's not like a one story. It's an entire franchise. So there's thousands of hours of this lion show in his manga. And there's like 3,000 hours compared to a 90-minute film. So all these comparison videos that you see showing, oh man, Disney, what a bunch of dicks, they just ripped them off. They're taking thousands of hours of content about a show about a lion in the jungle. Okay, there's only so many things you can do, so many shots you can make with a lion in the jungle in Africa. And he just breaks it down. He's like, all of these clips that they show are either newer or they're from this long-going series that has like every single like jungle animal scenario like imaginable has been done by these people. And also in the clips, they don't have any content of like what they're showing and stuff. They just go, oh wow, there's a warthog in Kimba and there's a one in Simba too, so they're totally the same thing. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing to see him just go and like just totally change my mind on this whole thing. And like I said before with the name thing, the Kimba Simba, well, it turns out that whenever they were bringing the show from Japan, the Kimba show from Japan to make it in English in America, they wanted to name it Simba. Why? Why Simba? Turns out Simba is an African word for lion. And all the other words in The Lion King have that same like tone, like Mufasa's father. That's like the whole thing. And whenever they had, you know, Kimba, the white lion in Japan, they wanted to call it Simba at first. They wanted it to be Simba the White Lion because it's the African word for lion. There have been lots of little Simbas, just like how Spot is a common dog name. Sadly, people do, you know, have pet lions. It's a whole other problem. But they named them Simba because it's an African name that sounds cute and it means lion. So that's what they wanted to do in the United States, is they wanted to name this lion Simba. And then, you know, the American producers were like, if you name it Simba, we can't copyright it because Simba is the name for a lion in another language. You can't just take a generic word like that and turn it into a trademark. So if we want to trademark this bad boy, we got to make it something else that's Simba. And so they chose Kimba. So there you go. So the smoking gun that people always go to first, that the names are similar, is a factor of language. That's about it. It's just because of language. It's like if it was called The Lion and then someone else called it The Lion. Oh my God, they're both called The Lion. Same thing. So it's an incredible, I won't just repeat the whole story for you, but look it up on YouTube. It's yourmoviesucks.org is the name of the guy. It's not a website. That's his name. But he goes so deep into this, I didn't even know was not a open and shut case. He goes in and he just blew my mind about it. And I'm not pro Kimba or pro Simba. I'm pro truth, people. And it's important that the truth comes out.
West side, bad boy, kids. You know who really say niggas do bring it. First, don't fuck your bitch, then click your claim. West side, when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife. We brought some bad boys, niggas fuck for life. Bust Puffy trying to see me get hearts on rip. Biggie Smalls and Junior Poppy and some more ass bitches. We keep on coming, but we running for your crew. Steady gunning, keep on busting at the booth. You know the rules.
Well, guys, that brings an end to our show. I hope you had a little fun listening to it. I know whenever I don't have the guests on, it feels kind of lame just listening to me talk. But I've gotten some good feedback from the show so far. And like I said in the first episode, just think of it as a friendship simulator. As if you wanted to talk to me, you know, you can get on here and just listen to me gab. And you can even turn me off if you're tired of my shit. And it's also kind of nice for me because I like that I have this avenue to kind of talk about things in my mind that isn't tied to my Facebook and like my all of my family and stuff. I'm not gonna be shilling this show on my personal Facebook anymore. It's just Lower Your Expectation Facebook page is where you'll find all of the details on it. So if you want to stay informed, go there. Go to Facebook. Look up Lower Your Expectation. I got to get like an Instagram and YouTube and stuff first or later. So that's going to be coming around the corner. You can find this show on iTunes and Spotify. I'm going to try to start making some clips of it to put on YouTube and stuff. I'm also thinking about doing a call-in show, maybe having a phone number that people can reach me at. I need an audience first. Everything about this is like putting like the cart before the horse. You know, it's like that's what I've realized sort of my issue I have right now, that money would help so bad. if I just had a bunch of money to blow and buy Facebook ads and shit and like pay some guests, that'd be so much easier. But alas, I am just a broke dude who lives in a cabin. I don't have that kind of money yet. But I think I might make a little phone number, something you can call in on. And as always, you can send me a message on Facebook. That would be super cool, at the Lower Your Expectation Facebook page. Or you can send me an email, loweryourexpectationpodcast@gmail.com. I would really look forward to hearing and answering any questions you got. And if you're a guest, please, God, if you think you want to be a guest, please, God, message me. I need you. I need you so bad. I need more voices on this show. So if you want to be on, or someone you know wants to be on, please, I would love, love, love to talk to you about that. So that's going to be the end of the show here. And, you know, I really didn't want to talk about this too much, because this is a fun, funny, ha-ha show. But I do want to say some stuff about my friend Jeremy Joel, who died recently. He was a fantastic artist and father. I shared an office with him in Fort Worth, and he was a very brilliant, beautiful human being. And it's sad that those people are always the ones that go quick. So I just wanted to pay my respects to him. Sorry if this brings the show down a little bit, but I just needed to say that because I love that guy a lot, and he will be missed. He's a very, very talented dude. Stay safe, guys. Stay in touch. And before you go,
excuse me, but you shouldn't hurt your baby.
But he deserves a good spanking because he's naughty.
I'd like to share his spanking so he won't feel so bad.
You must be cracked.
I'm with you, boy.
Holy Jesus.